All right, ladies and gentlemen. Grab your seats, and hopefully you have your Bible as well. Grab your Bible and open it up to Acts chapter 2, and you can just hold it there open for a second. We're going to get into that in just a minute, but find Acts chapter 2. So you guys know how this works around here. We've been studying the New Testament book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse for as long as I've been here, which has been incredible. But this week, it's time to do something just a little bit different until we jump into back into Hebrews next week. But it was important, and Mike did a good job of challenging me before I came up on stage here to tell you why we are moving from our cozy little den to a gym, as Mike always likes to poke at me about. But I think for us to all understand fully where we're headed, we need to remember where we've come from. 11 years ago, a small group of believers felt called by God to start a Bible study, and they started in a home just about a mile or two down the road here. They met together, and it was a really nice little thing. I wasn't a part of it at that time, and from what I understand, it just grew and it grew and it grew. It grew so much that they couldn't meet in a home anymore, and they decided, well, we no longer have a Bible study, we have a church. And so they got together and they came up with a name, and they brought in a pastor who was already a part of that Bible study. His name was Dave Ford. He was actually here last week, which was really awesome to see him. And they said, we need to find a building. And so they started a church. They called it Woodlands. They had a pastor, and they found a camp, which I believe is called Pacific Pines, right? Is that what it was called? Right up here on the top of VOE. You wouldn't even know it existed. And they met there for at least two or three years, if I remember correctly, and it was just a great time of growth for them, together as a family, growing together. And that's really the word, I think, that's probably defined not only that time, but even this time now for us is together. So in together in faith, they started that church. Together in faith, they moved to that building. Together in faith, they called the church Woodlands and had a pastor named Pastor Dave. And then a couple of years later, they looked around and they said, you know what, we just need a building that the community can see, that they can find us, they know where we are, we can have a sign. And that brought them here. And the Seventh-day Adventists were so wonderful to bring this church body in and to share this building and bless us with that and not charge us a whole lot of money for what we got here. And we should be thankful for that, by the way, if you ever run into any of them. They have been entirely gracious to us. And then a couple years or so after that, Pastor Dave decides, hey, it's time for me to retire. And him and his wonderful wife, Dwan, they moved out to Tennessee where they still live now. And some of their kids and even their grandkids are now moving back there, which is just an incredible blessing for them. But it left this body here without a pastor. And so for about a year or so, they were without a pastor. They had a young man come up and help lead the church during the transitional time. But they were hitting up other churches in the area looking for people just to come up and preach. And I ended up being one of those young men that they asked to come up and preach. We were connected through a denomination, and I preached a couple of times, and it was good, and it was different. But before I knew it, I was starting to get calls from these guys asking me if I'd have any interest in being the pastor of this church. And I was pretty clear at the beginning. I said no. I said no, I wouldn't. But God has a way of pursuing you and doing a work in your heart in which you could never even imagine. And I remember the turning point for me. It was probably almost exactly 5 years ago now, almost to the day or within a couple of months. I showed up here unannounced, and this little body of believers who desired so much to meet and serve the community were doing, it was either on Memorial Day or Labor Day, I don't remember which one, they were doing an ice cream social. I showed up unannounced with my family because I wanted to see who these people really were. And I got to look into the hearts and the lives of many of you who are even sitting in this room right now. And I saw people who not only loved the Lord, but who had a heart to see Crestline in this community meet Jesus. And that was the day that changed my mind for good, that I was going to come here and be a part of this family. And so almost 5 years ago, now it'll be in October, I showed up in faith together with a small body of believers that I now call family and preached my first message with about 20 people. I don't remember what I said back then. It probably didn't even make any sense, but that's not what matters. What matters is that in everything that we've done from the very beginning until now, is that we've done it together, and we've done it in faith. 4 years ago, we launched our first vacation Bible school. We did our first movie nights. I had people in the church tell me nobody's coming. We've tried all this stuff, Daniel. They don't come. They don't care. They don't want to be a part of it. But together, in faith, we set up VBS and we set up movie nights, and dozens of kids and hundreds of people showed up for that because we were together and faithful. 3 years ago, we did our first Halloween outreach, and we launched a children's ministry, a weekday night children's ministry, both of which, over the years, have been wildly successful, many people meeting the gospel in our church because of those ministries. 2 years ago, together in faith, we started a youth ministry, and now it feels like sometimes the youth ministry that sits back in that corner before we start is bigger than the church is. There was 15 today. Together in faith, God has done a lot, and he's been behind all of this. And now here we are today, on Sunday, June 3rd, the last time we're going to be in this building together, which all of us have wonderful and amazing memories in this place. But I believe now in faith, together, led by God, we have been called out of this building to a new campus. And here's the question, and this is what is on some of your minds. Why? Why? This is perfect. It's cozy. It's nice. It's pretty. They take care of it. Why are we moving? I'm going to tell you why to the best of my ability. Let me read to you Revelation 3:8. We're not in Acts yet, but let me read this to you. Revelation 3:8. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. If you want an answer as to why we're leaving this wonderful little place we have, it's because God has opened a door for us that we cannot shut. In 5 years, our ministry has grown from 20 people sitting here together on a Sunday morning to ministries that are happening all throughout the week, to having more than a dozen kids in the youth ministry, more than a dozen kids in our children's and in our nursery. Those rooms are sweltering. The ladies who serve in those ministries are screaming, ripping out their hair because there's no space anymore. A couple of weeks ago, I had some people let me know that they circled the neighborhood and they circled the parking lot, couldn't find a parking spot, and they drove home and left. A month before that, one of the very, very hot days we had in here, that it was packed, people got up and left and went home. These are some of the issues that we've been dealing with. And so all these things start happening, and then we hear whispers that this old building on the other side of the lake is going to be back open as a rec center. And I started a conversation with them. I know them from recreation stuff that I've done with them before, and so I just went in their office and I said, hey, you guys have any interest in a church being in that building with you? And being that they're a public government-run organization, I actually didn't think that it was going to go very well. And I could not believe from the moment I walked in there until now that it has been nothing but an open door. That has tried to be shut. We pay $1,200 a month to be here. The first price that they gave me on that building was $2,600 a month. I said, okay, it was nice talking to you. But the lady who runs that place, her name is Karen, is so sweet and so nice and so much believes in this community that she just wanted to see somebody else who cared about the community in there. And we kept the conversation open. And Wes and I attended their board meetings and pled our case. And before we knew it, she came back to me within about 2 months and said, this is what we can do, $1,280 a month. Only $80 more than we're already paying. Then I get a phone call a month after that. Hey, got a little problem. The county wants a use permit, and it's going to take maybe as much as a year to get, and maybe as much as $10,000. There's another shut door, right? Except that God had opened a door that no man was going to shut. That's the point of this. You guys understand that? And guess who went and fought that battle? I didn't. None of the elders did. Rimrek went and fought that battle at the county, spent their own time so that we could be in that building. They come back and say, hey, temporary use permit, instead of a full use permit, it's going to cost you $400. We have a deal. Deal. Do you guys see what God is doing here? Do you guys see this? Like, God is opening up doors for us that no man can shut. Even in the little things. Like, we had a huge shed in the back, and we have a little metal carton, and we've got closet space over here. Hey, we need storage. Is there anything you guys can do for us in storage over there? Here's a huge room with a lock on it. Okay? I mean, even in the small things. We have a bunch of kids that could use some grass in a playground. Anything you can do about that? Actually, we're putting in brand new grass in a playground in the next 6 months. It's unbelievable, church. It is unbelievable the doors that God has opened. We get to go to a rec center and say, hey, we want to be a part of the community too. Can we help you? We don't want you just to help us. We want you to partner with us. Open arms to everything that they're doing. Come in, your church can be right in the middle of everything we're doing. Put up banners about your church. Wear shirts with your name on it. Be right in the middle of this. Hey, we want to do VBS there. We want to do Vacation Bible School there. We want to run a Christian ministry on public property. Come do it. In this day and age, in California, I shouldn't have taken that to a political place, but here's the thing, church. The bottom line here is that I believe this. To not go would be disobedient. You cannot watch God open a door and then not walk through it, even though it's not going to be as comfortable as what we have here. So we're going to go, and we're going to be there next week. And here's the next biggest question I have to answer. When we get there, who are we going to be? Because that's really what matters now, because we're going. This is happening, and we're going to unite, and we're going to do this. So now, who are we going to be when we get there? I have one word for you this morning. It's a word I've used before, and I'm going to talk about it through the book of Acts. So if you have your Bibles, this would be a good time to pick them up. Who are we going to be? One word. We are going to be in everything together. That is the word for us, church. We are going to be together in everything that we do and in all that we are. I want you to see this story. If you've been around Woodlands the last 4 or 5 years, I've probably taught this story at least 4 or 5 times. This story has my heart. And I think you're going to see the connection between this story and what God is doing in us. So we're going to read the first 13 verses, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at that sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in his own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own language the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking said, they are filled with new wine. So let's get this story together real quick, okay? Here's what happens. Jesus has died on the cross. He's been risen back to life. He appears before the disciples. He gives the disciples like the second version of the Great Commission to go out to all nations and preach the gospel. And then right in front of all of their faces, he ascends into heaven. The disciples are kind of left scratching their heads. Okay, leader's gone. Now what do we do? Well, he told us to go into Jerusalem and wait. So they do that. They go and they wait. And as they're waiting in this room together, all together, the Holy Spirit comes and fills the room and fills the believers. And then they pour out on the streets, declaring the greatness of God. And all of the people gathered there are hearing the greatness of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, proclaimed in their own language. God moved in a powerful way that day. I don't know if you can connect the dots, but I sure do. Here's what I see, number one. Number one, I see that the disciples were together. In this time of transition, there is nothing more important for us than to stay together. There are going to be things that are tough and difficult. It's not going to feel the same at times. But understand where the disciples were watching Jesus disappear into the heavens, alone in a room, scared and unsure. They were feeling those same type of feelings we might be feeling even now, thinking about even just next week and what's on the horizon. Yet they stayed together in one place. And then it says that they were filled. That God was doing something supernatural in them. Church, there's no missing that. There's no missing that in our body. Like, God is doing things in this body. We don't always get to see them. We don't always get to hear them. We're trying to do a better job of telling the story of people and of Woodlands. But God is moving in this place. Lives are changing. People are being set free. People are growing in their relationships with one another and with God. Like, something supernatural is happening. And then think about where the disciples were. They were together, gathered, right in the middle of town. God is picking us up and moving us to a place where life is going to start happening. Crestline has been begging for something new, some kind of new life to happen. Rimrec grabs this building. They're going to have all sorts of things going on. The community is going to be there all the time. And he picks up us, Woodlands, and he dumps us right in the middle of the community and all of the involvement that's going to be there. And then what happens? God moves. When a faithful people stay together, follow God's direction in faith, he will move. So the word is together. But what does together look like for us? Well, number one, we need to be together for the community. Like, God is calling us to the community, to be involved in the community, to be a part of the community and everything that is happening there. We must be obedient to that. From day one of me being here, I have used that word hundreds of times. I have preached that over and over again, that I want to be a part of the community, that I want the community to know this. I want to serve the community. I want to love the community. And to this point, we've done a good job of it. And now I believe God has seen our faithfulness and our desire to love and serve the community and is now giving us more favor and more responsibility right smack in the middle of something new in Crestline. And what he is doing there is undeniable. That he would take us to a place where we can immediately be seen in a way that we have never been seen before. I don't know if you've had this experience, But if you tell people where you go to church, they've probably never even heard of it. The elders give me a hard time sometimes because we're not in the newspaper, because people don't know who we are. We don't have signs up. We don't have banners up, that we're not known. Well, here's your answer, church. Now we're going to be known, because everyone who goes in and out of that center knows that we're there. They're going to see our faces. They're going to see our name. They're going to get to know us in a way that they never have before. But it's not just about them seeing us. It's about us being invested in them. That's what really matters. We have to be invested in this community. Imagine if a church was more invested in the community than they were in themselves. Imagine the attitude of the community towards the church in that case. Because I think it's typical of us that we're invested in what we want and who we are and what we believe. And that's just normal. But what if a church was more interested in being a part of the community and loving the community and serving the community than in its own needs? That's what I want us to be in the community. Not just together in the community, but together for the community. And I believe that if we do that, if we invest in the community, we love the community, I believe that verse 7 will be us. It says, and they were amazed and astonished. When Crestline sees a church that cares more about them than the church cares about themselves, I believe that they are going to be amazed and astonished. But that's only the beginning. Just being a part of the community, it's the start, together for the community. But there's something that has to change. There's something different that has to happen once we're a part of that community. And it happens in the next 30 verses or so, which I'm not going to read all of them. I'm just going to read a few of them. Look what happens. So the disciples pour out onto the streets. They pour out ministering to all of these people. They're amazed and they're in awe. Verses 14 and 15. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. And then he quotes some prophecy from Joel. Move down to verse 22. He continues his sermon. He says, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosening the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Let's move down to verses 37 through 38 to finish this section. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Being woven into the community and invested in the community and serving the community, like that alone will be awesome. But what is going to change lives is when we step up and become like Peter. When we together tell our stories of being transformed. That's what Peter does. In front of thousands of people, Peter stands up and preaches the gospel of the life change that he and the other believers had gone through. You see, getting to know the community is one thing, but sharing our story with the community of transformation of what Jesus has done in my life is where the key to real change begins to happen. And this morning I wanted you to hear a story. You know, it's hard to get up here. It's hard to get up here and tell your story. But I picked someone this morning that I felt like exemplified exactly what the power of God through this church can be. It's going to be hard for her to get up and tell her story this morning, but God has worked in her life. And my prayer is that as Julie comes up and shares her story right now, that you guys will see how us as a family, together in faith, loving the community, telling our transformed stories, will rock Crestline's life. So will you come up, Julie? You want to sit or stand? Go ahead.
Good morning.
I'm going to make you use it. You're too quiet. Sorry.
It is hard to come up here and tell your story, and especially when it reveals so much about you. And thankfully, a lot of you already know this story, and have loved me through it, so thank you for that. I'll start off with, I was a really good kid growing up. Given the circumstances I was born into, I was a good kid. I had really good grades. I had, you know, I was captain of every team and was really popular and had a bright future, scholarships. I had a lot going for me. And then some really terrible things happened to me. If you want to know more about them, you have to come to group. and it felt like my life was just ripped right out from underneath me. And I had two options at that point. I could pray and wait for God to work in my life, or I could drown my sorrows away. And I chose to drown my sorrows away. I became a party girl. I did things that I'm not proud of. I was very self-destructive, as sexually immoral. I have a whole list of things here. There's just so much I've done. I was living with an abusive boyfriend at the time and putting myself in really dangerous situations. I'm really glad my mom's not here today. But she was what saved me. She prayed for me every day. She told me she was praying for me. She loved me through it. You know, she would always beg me to come back home. And let me tell you, if you have a prodigal child right now, don't stop praying for them, because that's the only thing. And so eventually I left that abusive situation I was in, and I moved back in with my parents, and some time had passed, and I met a wonderful man I now call my husband, Miles, and we decided to start a life together and buy our first home up here where he grew up in Twin Peaks. And I think that whole first year was a big, giant party, and we were hungover for probably a year or two, the first first year we moved up here. But, you know, we had a lot of fun, and that was our lifestyle. I then started working at a gym. I was a personal trainer through all of this. That's what I had been doing for a really long time, since I turned 19. So then I found a job at the gym, and I met Mike. And Mike Lardy, if you're wondering which Mike. And I didn't know Mike's story back then. I didn't know anything about what he had been through. And if you haven't heard his story, ask him about it, because it's amazing. But it was evident that Mike had God with him and in his life. And, you know, just everything about him just reflects God. And it stirred something inside me, and I remember just having that before. I missed it. I missed that relationship with God. I missed having him in my life. I missed praying to him because I didn't think I was worthy to even speak to him. And so Mike invited me to church, and that was 3 years ago. I walked through those doors. I was greeted warmly, and I sat in that back corner over there, hoping no one would see me. And the minute praise and worship started, I just started crying, which isn't really a big deal because I cry at, like, cute puppy videos. And so, I mean, it's not hard to make me cry, but then Daniel started to speak, and I just was overwhelmed with conviction of the way that I had been living my life. And granted, my husband had tamed me down a little bit, but still, you know, there were some changes that needed to happen. And I'd come to church for a while, and then I wouldn't come to church for a while, and Daniel and Aaron and all the people at group would be calling and texting and just telling me they love me and they miss me. And it just, I couldn't believe that they wouldn't give up. I wanted them to, because I didn't think I was worthy of their love. I didn't think I was worthy of God's love. I didn't feel like I fit in that way. But then God told me I needed to take my mask off and pull down those walls, because that's the only way I was going to heal, and that was the only way that I was going to be loved and learn how to love others. And through going to group, yes, small group is important. Through going, I have built relationships and family. I have sisters and mothers in my life now that just love me through it all, and they know who I am. The good, the bad, the ugly, and even the good things, you know. Like, I'm not all bad, but, yeah, and, you know, I have brothers and uncles here now and that just love on me, and that's the only thing that got me through, was just coming together with everybody and fighting these battles, these spiritual battles, with my family. Because when you try to fight a battle all alone, you're not going to get anywhere. You're not fed, so you're weak. You can't build your armor because you're just not being sharpened by others. And there's just so much that having a community like this and having the support that you need and the love that you need gets you through it all. Yeah, and I can't say enough about how much that means to me that you would think I'm worth loving. And my story is not over, but I couldn't imagine going through it without all of you. Thank you.
Nice job, Julie. Thank you. So now imagine this. She held it together. I almost didn't. Mike was having a hard time too, I saw. Hey, imagine this though. Imagine the power of this. I know when I stand up here and I say, hey, we're going to help Rim Rec with Run Through the Pines and their Halloween outreach, and we're going to be a part of their national night out, and we just kind of ho-hum, what is that going to do? Now imagine this. Someone sees Julie at the Run Through the Pines wearing one of these new silly Woodlands t-shirts that eventually all of you are going to have. And then they see her at National Night Out. And then they just run into her at the grocery store. And then finally they get tired of seeing her and they say, Julie, I've seen you at all these places. What is the story here? Do you understand the power, what God is giving us? That we get to be a part of all of this and people are going to see us face to face? and that at some point he's going to give us the opportunity to tell our story. Mike's going to tell his story, and John's going to tell his story, and Daniel's going to tell his story, and Brent's going to tell his story, and Jeremy's going to tell his story, and we're all going to tell our story, and those stories are going to be so powerful that people are going to want to be a part of something that is truly life-changing. Together, being transformed and telling that story. Now, I know sometimes we think, well, I don't have that powerful story of transformation. I don't have a story of redemption like Julie has. I know sometimes we struggle with that. But church, God is transforming every one of us. Every one of us. At every moment. And it doesn't matter if you're 20 or 30 or 50 or 80. God is transforming you, and you have a unique story to tell to someone that needs to hear it. And when you tell your story like Peter told it, the way he stood in front of all of those people and told them about Jesus and the gospel, it says they were cut to the heart. People who had never heard that message before, people who had never heard the story of Jesus, they were cut to the heart at the story being told. And then at the end there it says, verses 40 and 41, and it says, and with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. I've been very clear from day one with you, church, that I'm not interested in 3,000, not interested in 100 or 500 or whatever the number is. Here's what I'm interested in being. I'm interested in being a body of people that are together in faith, loving their community and telling their story and seeing what God's going to do with it. That's what I'm interested in. The numbers will come, but our focus is true gospel transformation in this community. But maybe something I do need to answer for you is, where is all this headed? I know I'm getting kind of long here. I'm going to try to hit fast forward a little bit here, but I think I need to answer this question. Like, where is this headed? Because just 6 months ago, we didn't hear anything about this moving thing, and now we're moving. Like, what are you going to drop on me in the next year? Here's what I want in the next year. In the next year, I just want our church to become visible and known. That's it. In the next year, 365 days from now until then, I want us to be known. I want people to know us in this community, to know Woodlands, to know our face, to know where we are, to know the things that we're doing. And we're going to do those things through all of the things that I've already mentioned. We are going to get directly involved with everything that Rim Rec is doing at that building. National Night Out, Run Through the Pines, Halloween. We're going to do our own things there. We're going to do movie nights and VBS. Our hope is that within the next year, we're going to even be launching some other weekday ministries there. We're hoping to be launching a Celebrate Recovery program for addiction. We're also hoping to be able to move our youth ministries there on Wednesday nights. Hey, here's another open door for you. They've got a whole calendar of events that happen. They're over there at Rim Rec. Karen came up to me and she said, hey, by the way, if you want Wednesday nights sometime in the future, it's yours. I mean, so that's ours when we're ready. I want to be visible and I want to be known. 2 years from now, 2 to 5 years from now, I want us to go from being visible and known to becoming a fixture in the community. There's a lot of businesses and organizations on this mountain that are known. Sometimes they have good reputations, sometimes bad reputations. I don't want people just to know us. I want to be a fixture in the community. When you go to a community event, one of the businesses you always see as a sponsor is Goodwins. Everyone goes to Goodwins. Everyone thinks good of the family that owns Goodwins. I want to be like Goodwins. I want to be like Hearts and Lives, where the people of the community of Crestline can go in there and get help and support that they need. I want to be known like Rim Family Services is known. When I need help, when I need counseling, when I'm stuck in addiction, whatever it is, I can go get help at Rim Family Services. I want to be like that. I want to be a fixture in the community where people know that they can come and find help and be known and be cared for. And within 2 to 5 years there, I also want to be running ministries there all week long. I mentioned Celebrate Recovery. I mentioned children's stuff. I want to be running classes there. I want to have resources there. I want programs there. I want people in our church leading things there. I want that building to not be Rim Rex anymore. I want it to become ours. We're there so much. That's a big dream because that takes volunteers and it takes staff and it takes finances. But that's what I want to see in 2 to 5 years. And now here's the big one. 5 to 10 years. What do I see in 5 to 10 years? I want to own that building. And then they can rent from us. That sounds good, right? I want to own that building or a building like it so that we have a place that's ours. So we can make it ours. So it can look like ours. So people are coming to our home. And then within that same 5 to 10 year span, I also want to launch a second Woodlands. Because I don't believe in just gathering a mass of people for a service. I believe in gathering and then scattering. That happened in the book of Acts, right? They gather together and then God, through circumstances, breaks it up and scatters everyone. I want to launch a second Woodlands. Maybe in Cedar Glen, maybe in Arrow Bear, somewhere like that where there's a need for a local church. I don't know where God is taking all this. I don't know exactly where his direction is going to lead. I don't know as I share this with you if God's going to do all of those things. I want to believe it. I want to hope for it. I want to pray for it. But here's what I know. From day one until now, he has been so good. And if we continue to be faithful and we honor him with our word and our lives, he's going to take us places that probably I can't even imagine in these few minutes for me to share. Here's the last thing I have to share with you this morning, and then I'll be done. Let's read the last part of this passage of chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And they've devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Here's the last point about being together. We're together for the community. We're together to share our transformation. And here's the last one. And it's only last because it comes up last in Scripture. We are together for one another. We cannot miss that. As much as we want to be for the community, as much as we want to reach the community, we are together for one another. And if we miss the Great Commission in all of this, we miss the whole point. The Great Commission isn't that we just go out and find people and see them become saved. It's that they would become disciples, that they would become followers, not just people who gather, but they would become disciples of Jesus Christ. We must not forget the greatest mandate that Jesus gave beyond loving him and loving others was to make disciples, that we would intentionally and relationally make disciples. What does that mean in a nutshell? That means we don't just gather for Sunday morning and do some fun activities. That means, like Julie did an awesome job of describing, that we get in real relationships with people where we can share about ourselves and find healing and find God's work and learn about his word together and challenge one another and hold each other accountable. We're intentional with one another. We're relational with one another. And we get in those environments and in those places where God can move and change us and grow us. And when the community sees all of those things to come together, together for them, together being transformed, and then we invite them into this church and they become a part of our body and they themselves become disciples, then we see the great purpose that God has given us as the church. This morning we're going to close by taking communion together and in celebration. A lot of times we lower the lights and things get quiet, and I use a dramatic whispery voice. But not today, because today's a celebration. Today is a celebration of all the good things that God has done for us personally, all of the good things that he has done for us as a body. Today we're going to celebrate that. We come to the communion table to remember Christ on the cross. And it's a celebration that that man, God himself, gave his life on the cross, that his body was broken and that his blood was spilled so that we could sit here today as people free from their sin, together, ready to go out and be one in the mission with Christ himself. And so right now, a couple of men are going to get up and they're going to come around and they're going to pass communion. Take the elements and just hold on to them. As communion's coming around, the one thing that I should mention is that Paul said, before you take this, just make sure you're coming in a worthy manner. And so just for a second, you can just bow your heads and close your eyes once you have the elements in your hand. And you can just spend a moment with the Lord. And if he convicts you of anything, if there's anything that he lays on your heart, any conviction that he lays on your heart, then right now, in these moments, turn it over to him. God, forgive me. God, help me to move past that. God, give me the strength. And so as communion's coming around, go ahead and just take a moment to be with the Lord. Hold on to it. And then in just a moment, I'm going to come back up and we're going to take communion together. I think a lot of times when we come to communion, we take it in a very somber and quiet way, almost in a moment of defeat. But church, it was never that. This was always entirely about victory. Jesus sat at the table with his followers, and to them they might have been feeling defeat, but for Jesus this was all about victory. Because he was going to the cross to win the greatest battle that mankind ever faced. And so that night, he took the bread and he broke it and they passed it. And he said, every time you meet together, take this in remembrance of my body being broken for the forgiveness of sin. And in the same way, he took the cup and he said, every time you come together, every time you meet, take this in remembrance of the new covenant. And now we know what the new covenant is, church. It's no longer one where we are bound by laws and bound by religious ritual, but we are bound by his blood, which is a free gift of grace and mercy. We are forgiven this morning in victory. Take this in remembrance of him. Will you stand as I pray? Father, one last time, together, we stand on our feet in this place, and we just say thank you. Father, we just say thank you. You have been good in ways that we could never anticipate. You have been faithful in ways that we cannot imagine. Father, you have cared for us and you have watched out for us. You have lit our path, Father. You have illuminated everything that we have done, Father. And in these moments now, we just say thank you. Father, as we close, just another moment of song. Lord, may what radiates from our hearts and our souls through our throats and out our mouths, Father, may they just be glorifying and honoring to you. Father, may we be true worshipers in this moment. Father, where our gratefulness and our thanksgiving flow out of our mouths and into heaven, and may they be a sweet song to you. We pray in Jesus' name. There is no one like our God. You guys get to leave this morning in confidence that your church family and your church body is walking through a door that no man can shut, that God opened. And I believe the same thing for each one of you. However and wherever God is calling you to serve.